Hello, everyone. I'm Anthony Elijah Dagger, minister of the 12th Hour Park, 37th Assembly Congress, and I'm signed the 12th Hour. In the Oven, Texas, today is October 2, 2024. Or the 30th day of Tishrei 2028, we will start our first service today with a sermon entitled Faith and Works, Part 3. It's in Letter Symbolic Code number 6. This is actually part 3 of our chain of sermons taken from this Symbolic Code. We're in on page 9. It says that in Hebrews 4:9, Paul tells us that there remains the rest, and that is for the people of Yahweh. Hebrews 4:2. For unto us was the gospel preached. In other words, when you put the definition on the meaning, the real meaning of the word gospel, you have for unto us, Paul is telling those people that are in Hebrew, those Gentiles. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached. Well, actually, Paul must have been addressing the Hebrews himself. Because if he's talking here, anyway, it says for us, it's talking about the Jews. He said, for unto us was the kind of the salvation priests of the very everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. So this priest, as well as unto them. So Paul is saying, for unto us here in the New Testament, both Jew and Gentile, was the kind of the salvation of Hebrews chapter 10, the new and living way through the blood of the everlasting the gospel of the Yahshua. So unto us was this planned priest, Hebrews 10, as well as unto those Jews of the old covenant. And the stranger and the Gentile of the old covenant. Those that, according to Isaiah 56, laid a hold of his covenant, they say, in the Old Testament. So whether it was Jew or Gentile, it makes any difference. Or eunuch or stranger, he says, within your gates. He lays a hold of my covenant, then I'll give him a great name as well. That I gave to the Israelites. So in Hebrews 4:2, we can read this with a little bit more enthusiasm here. For unto us was the Father of Salvation priest, as well as unto them of the old covenant. But the word priest did not profit them. Talking about our fathers. When they came out of Egypt, when they was in the wilderness for 40 years with Moses and Joshua, that it did not profit those that rejected the preaching and the understanding of the plan of salvation of the everlasting covenant, not being mixed with the faith and them that heard it. See them in this verse refers to ancient Israel, and us refers unto those of the apostolic church of the Church of the Nazarene of the Yahshua. Okay. Or to Yahweh's people and the Christian dispensation. So the Ritual House is calling a Christian dispensation the same thing as Christians of the first century that converted to the apostles Apostolic Church of the Nazarene. So it says, where the rest was promised unto the ancient Israel, but because of the unbelief and the preaching of the plan of salvation to the blood, the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, because they did not believe in that. It was promised to them, to ancient Israel, if they would accept and believe in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua that was to come, then they could enter in their day, in that 40 years that they were in the world, and they could have entered into his rest in that 40 year period. But because of unbelief, they failed to receive it. For this verse could not be the Sabbath, so they not only received the Sabbath institution, but were also promised the rest that Paul speaks of, nor could the rest be merely peace with the Yahweh. It is something more. Joshua, Hebrews 4:5, it says, led the ancient Israel unto the promised land, but they did not receive the rest. Now that the Yahweh's people in the Paul's time have it, nor do they have it today. There remains therefore a rest unto the people of Yahweh, Hebrews 4:9. If we are the people with the last message, then we must be the ones who are to be among the first to enter into the rest. Since rest comes when one's work is done, it is only when we have done our work that we can have rest. What is our work? The work we must perform before we may have rest. In verse 4 of this chapter, Paul refers back to the time of the creation. We shall therefore turn our attention now briefly to Genesis, which is a record of the creation. As you well know, there we are told that the earth and all that is in it was created in 6 days, and that Yahweh rested the seventh day. Yahweh rested on the seventh day, and Adam took part in the celebration of the commemoration of the completion of the Yahweh's work. Adam could not rest, for he had not worked. He could only keep the day holy as a memorial of the completion of the Yahweh's work. Genesis 1:27-28. So Yahweh created man in his own image, and the image of Yahweh created he him. Male and female created he them. And Yahweh blessed him. Yahweh said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now this was the work Yahweh gave a man to do. He created the earth to be inhabited. It was the duty of the Adam and Eve to replenish the earth with the saints and to bear rule over all the earth. Obviously, this work has not yet been finished, for not all on earth is yet under the subjection unto man as Yahweh intended. While the earth was originally created and provided with the righteous people, that because Adam sinned, all his children were born in sin. Had our first parents been faithful, they would have been only righteous inhabitants. Since all born of Adam are sinners, there is therefore a need for all to be born again. Then because sin entered all man's works, is multiplied for the additional labor to bring salvation by preaching the word became necessary. Genesis 3:16-17. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and so shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Yahweh here greatly multiplies sorrow and conception. Womankind, because of sin, had to give birth to many more children than otherwise. She would have had sin not entered. So then we see that the complete number that Yahweh wanted to inhabit the earth would have been made up sinner had Adam and Eve not sinned. So Yahweh rested the seventh day because his creative work was finished. But man's work was not yet done. Man's work in reality started for Yahweh's soul creative work ended. Therefore, a man joined the Yeshua or the Yahweh in the resting on the Sabbath day in commemoration of the completion of the Yahweh's work. But the rest that is to be man's will be given to him when his part of the work is finished. When the plan of salvation through the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua work has replenished the earth with the born again people, then probation will cease and our work will be ended. Then will we enter into our rest. The rest Paul is speaking about. For the earth today, including the dead, is perhaps inhabited with the number Yahweh had intended should inherit the earth. But when all of those who will not be saved are eliminated, the complete number may not yet be made up. Nor is the gospel work, meaning the teaching of the plan of salvation through the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the new and living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, work is would be finished. So it says, regardless, now how great the world's population may be, if the people are not saved, the earth is still empty in Yahweh's sight. Adam was to carry on his work of replenishing the earth with sense, which is in reality an extension of creation itself. With the aid of the Trinity, now this, boy, it's how it is using this Trinity. This Trinity that Ethiopia has used is not the same as the Chad has used. I don't mean to say that the Trappist, when they use that word Trinity, they call it a three in one person of the Godhead. That's not what religion out of it means. It was the word which brought creation and the beginning. And it is the word that is the finisher work of the earth. For the word is nothing more or less than the Trinity speaking on the earth. Well, I'll say that Trinity. Okay. In other words, he's saying the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is the power of Yahweh that he gave first unto his Son when he created him in heaven. He said he gave his Spirit unto his Son. And then when he creates his saints on earth, those that become saints, then he gives his Spirit, Yahshua gives his Spirit unto them. Okay. For the Word is nothing more or less than the Trinity of the Father and the Son speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. Yahweh's commission to man joins him to the Trinity. And shows that Yahweh wants us to be co-laborers with him. Man, the mouthpiece, and the Bible, the Word. Here we can see that Yahweh gave man a very great part in the work of the creation. And he has given us his Spirit to aid us in the journey. After these things, Yahshua appointed others 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face, and to every city and place, whether he himself would come. Luke 10:1. For the disciples were sent unto every place wherever Yahshua himself would come, showing that they would have Yahshua at their side while they were doing their work. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Yahshua met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Yahshua unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Matthew 28:9-10. All of Yahweh required of his labor was that they speak the word. And this gospel of the kingdom, okay, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. So in other words, and this plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10, through the new and living way, that is, through Yahshua's blood and his blood, is got to be preached as a witness unto all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28:19-20. This commission extends down unto us and the end of the time. Likewise also does the promise that he will ever be with us to aid us in our work. Yes, all of Yahweh requires of us is to speak the word, and he has pledged himself to be with us to aid us. Man was commanded to replenish the earth, to bring forth children. He was to teach his children and convert them as soon as they have sufficient knowledge. And he was to wipe out the wickedness. Wicked men do not perish forever from the earth until after the time of salvation to the brethren of us in heaven have been preached. There is then a lesson in this that we should not fail to see, namely, that the slower you work for the Yahweh servant, the greater the sorrow. If the church has been faithful, much labor and means could have been saved. Therefore, many others have to be brought into the world to take the place of these lost, of those lost. For the trumpets charge proves that man is replenished the earth with the righteous people only. For it was Noah's preaching that brought the flood, which saved the righteous and destroyed the wicked and the living. It was the churches going out of Egypt that sank the Egyptians in the Red Sea, and it is given unto those who are to proclaim the gospel of the preaching of the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10. Now to gather in the saints that and wipe out all the wicked. For the portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is a former of all things. And Israel is a rod of his inheritance. For the Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of the war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nation, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of the oxen, and with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. Jeremiah 51:19-23. Yahweh will accomplish all this by his church. Here we see that all the wicked are to be broken in pieces, and it is the work of the church that is to accomplish it. Now this whole purpose is twofold: to bring forth and to put aside, that is, to save the just and to put aside the wicked. In the beginning Yahweh created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Yahweh moved upon the face of the waters. For Yahweh said, let there be light, and there was light. And Yahweh saw the light, that it was good, and Yahweh divided the light from the darkness. And Yahweh called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day, Genesis 1:1-5. There was light before the fourth day, when the sun and the moon were created. Light was the first to be created. At this point, it is interesting to notice how the days of the creation and the seven of trumpets somewhat coincide. Number one, first the Spirit mirrored upon the waters, and light was created. First trumpet, hail, water, and fire cast up on the earth, representing the truth preached by the Noah to enlighten the people, to escape the destruction by the flood. Number two, second, the waters divided by the firmament. The second trumpet affected the sea. Number three, the third day, sea and earth divided and vegetation created. Third trumpet, star fell into the water. Fourth day, sun, moon, and stars flew. The fourth trumpet, sun, moon, and stars smitten. Number five, the fifth day, fowl created. Fifth trumpet, concerned locusts having wings. Number six, sixth day, beast and man were created. Sixth trumpet, concerned horses and men. And it is in the sixth trumpet that Yahweh's kingdom is to be restored. And man is to fill the place that was intended that he should fill. Number seventh day rested. Seventh trumpet. Mystery of Yahweh finished. Says, creation and man will finish this part of the work and the sixth trumpet. This is Yahweh rested from his work on the seventh day. So man in the seventh trumpet at the close of probation, when the gospel work is finished. The gospel work is finished before probation closes with the seventh trumpet. We'll have to read that more closely than Revelation. We'll receive the rest of which Paul spoke. By this we see that it took Yahweh 6 days to do the work, and it is taking man 6,000 years to do his. Then comes the millennium. All of Yahweh's people are to keep the seventh day Sabbath in the commemoration of the completion of Yahweh's work, before they will receive the rest which they themselves have earned. To enter into their rest, however, requires faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant and belief which our forefathers did not possess. Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of the entering into his rest. Many of you should seem to come short of this. It is for the Yahweh's people today to have not just the promise of the rest, but it is for them to experience it in reality. Hebrews 4:2. For unto us was the gospel, or the plan of salvation, preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mercy saved in the blood of the everlasting covenant and them that heard it. Of Hebrews chapter 10. At this time, the time in which the prophets longed to live, the gospel, or the plan of the salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 10, the near and living way of the kingdom, is to be preached even more fully than it was unto the early apostolic believers in the first century. But it still will require faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10, and belief on the part of all who would enter into that rest. So you see, those that enter into this rest in the end time has definitely got to be performing their vows of the sanctuary, the whole sanctuary, and believing by faith of the brother the everlasting coming of Yahshua in Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 12, those who do not now possess more faith and belief than our forefathers, who could not enter in because of their unbelief, will not be profited either. Hebrews 4, 6, and 7. As sin, therefore, remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it is first preached entered not in because of the unbelief again. He limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. But his voice today then is antithetical, David. This is the same thing as antithetical Elijah. And so if he appears and sent unto you, and hear his voice, and don't harden your heart, for the time is limited unto a certain day. And David, the time Israel and Judah are gathered, and and today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Hebrews 4, 8, 9. For Joshua had given them rest, then will he not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of Yahweh. After further probation, Yahweh is to make a memorial forever, affirming that we have finished our work. The Sabbath points forward then unto the rest, which we may enter into forever, when we have finished our work as Yahweh has finished his. Hebrews 4:9-11. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of Yahweh. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as Yahweh did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of the unbelief. Are you growing daily in the faith? Do you see that the just shall live by their faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10. If you are sure that you have sufficient faith, are you mixing it also with the corresponding works? Are you doing all you can to help replenish the earth with the saints? Brethren, these questions are solemn ones, especially when one contemplates the thought that the only way we can really rejoice in the Yahweh's creation is to have a part in it. It is for this very reason, born of Yahweh's everlasting love for man, that caused him to grant unto man so great a part in the establishing the world after his righteous order, and the Yahshua has given us in this day an accurate and reliable blueprint in this 11th hour message. So actually this message is coming to light here in the 12th hour, but B.T. Hollis laid it down in the 11th or in the 10th hour. He ought to have planted this message in the tank for about a jar when he was on alive, so that none of us need error in knowing how great a privilege we have to be a true witness for him in the word, deed, and action. Let us not therefore put off the work and thus prolong the world's sorrow and suffering, but let each of us be among those who shall fulfill the purpose for which we were created, to verily help bring about the complete and true rest and everlasting joy. Yahweh has faithful ones who will do it. Will you be one of them? Oh, that's the end of Letter Somebody Told number 6. Let's go ahead and add, let's go, and 11 symbolic code number 7. And let's add that on to the end of this one we just got through with. I had it the other day, but I don't hurt to review it again. And it's entitled The Necessity for the Sealing. We got about 25 minutes left on this sermon. So, let's start with the sermon which has been selected for this issue of the symbolic code is on Isaiah 27. Now this is really good. It was given on the several occasions in 1936, and the last time Brother Holler presented it was February 27, 1943, on September 21st, 1936. Brother Holler made the remark concerning the possibility of the trouble coming to the church after the sealing of the saints and before the slaughter of the Ezekiel 9, and if so, what the result would be and why, since Revelation 11 has come, recently been unfolded before us, we should be able to see that it is not just a possibility, but rather both a fact and approaching reality, that trouble is coming to the church before the slaughter of the Ezekiel 9. None therefore need to be ignorant concerning what we must now be doing about it. First off, if those who are headstrong and full of self-esteem go on unchecked in their course, what will be the condition of things in the church? How are the wrongs to be corrected which exist in the strong-willed, ambitious one? By what means will Yahweh reach them? How will he set his church in the order? Differences of the opinion are constantly arising, and the apostasies often afflict the church. When the controversy or division comes in, all parties claim to be right and to have a conscience void of the offense, and they will not be instructed by those who have long borne the burden of the word and who they have reason to know have been guided by the Yahshua. Light has been sent for the dispelling of the darkness, but they are too proud of the heart to accept it, and they choose the darkness, before they despise the counsel of the Yahweh, because it does not coincide with their views and plans, and favor their wrong face of the churches for the work of the Spirit of Yahweh, which would bring them into the right position, if they would accept it, has not come in a way to please them and to flatter their self-righteousness. For the light which Yahweh has given is no light to them, and they wander in darkness. For they claim that no more confidence is replaced in the judgment of the one who has had such a long experience and whom the Yahweh has taught and used to do a special work than in that of any other person. Is it Yahweh's plan that they should do thus? Or is it the special working of the enemy of all righteousness? to hold souls in the error, to bind them in the strong delusion that cannot be broken, because they have placed themselves beyond the reach of the means that Yahweh has ordained to deal with His church, for the reproof, the caution, the corrections of the Yahshua have been given to His church in the order in all ages of the world. Okay, for these are warnings were despised and rejected in the Yahshua day by the self-righteous Pharisees, who claimed that they needed no such reproof and were unjustly dealt with. They would not receive the word of the Yahshua through His servant because they did not please their inclination. Should the Yahshua get a vision right before this class of the people in our days, pointing out their mistakes, rebuking their self-righteousness, and condemning their sin, they would rise up in the rebellion. Like the inhabitants of the Nazareth, and Yahshua showed them their true condition. If these persons do not humble their hearts before Yahweh, if they harbor the suggestions of the Satan, doubt and infidelity will take possession of the soul, and they will see everything in a false light. If the seeds of the doubt once be sown in their hearts, and they will have an abundant harvest to reap. They will come to mistrust and disbelieve truth which are plain and full of the beauty unto others who have not educated themselves in the unbelief. Those who train the mind to seize upon everything which they can use as a pen to hang a doubt upon, or a peg, as a peg to hang a doubt upon, and suggest these thoughts unto other minds, will always find occasion to doubt. They will question and criticize everything that arises in the unfolding of the truth, criticize the work and position of the others, criticize every branch of the work in which they have not themselves a part. They will feed upon the errors and mistakes and faults of others, and just said the angel, Yahshua shall rise up from his mediatorial work in the heavenly sanctuary, and shall clothe himself with the garments of the remnant, and supply them at the unholy feast, and they will find themselves unprepared for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Their taste has been so perverted that they would be inclined to criticize even the table of the Yahshua and his kingdom. Has the Yahweh ever revealed unto these self-deceived ones that no reproofs or correction from him are to have any weight with them unless he comes through the direct vision? I dwell upon the point because the position that many are now taking upon it is a delusion of the Satan to ruin souls when he has ensnared and weakened them to his sovereignty, so that when they are reproved, they persist in the making of none effect. The workings of the other spirit, his truth over them, will be complete. Some who profess righteousness will, like the Judas, betray the Yahshua into the hands of his bitterest enemies. These self-confident ones determined to have their own way and to advocate their own ideas will go on from bad to worse until they will pursue any course rather than to give up their own will. They will go on blindly in the way of the evil, but like the deluded Pharisee, so self-deceived that they think they are doing Yahweh's service, that should portray the course which a certain task will take. When they have a chance to develop their true character, and you shall be betrayed, both to parents and brethren, and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Testimony of Zion 5. Now 668 and 691. For the lesson here is for all who profess to be ministers in the church, and also for those who claim to be the disciples of Yahshua. The Pharisees, the ministers, would not heed Yahshua's own reproof and truth. Neither did Judas, one of his own disciples. But instead, Judas showed his true character in the end, that he was a wicked traitor instead of a disciple, a great benefactor, our friend. May Yahweh help us all to understand ourselves and be constantly in the right relationship with Him, that we fall not into temptation, should be our prayer. Okay, that's the end of the prayer thought for that symbolic code. Number 7. It says the study for this afternoon is continuation of our study of last Sabbath, dealing with early writing, page 36 and 38. Revelation 7:1-4, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. Now this Revelation 7:1-4, this is the opening of the seventh seal as well. And Revelation 8:1 is the opening of the seventh seal. But this Revelation 7:1-4 is also opening up the seventh seal. Let's read that again. Revelation 7:1-4, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east. This is Yahshua. He's here on earth. He's in Jerusalem, having the seal of the living Yahweh. And he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels unto whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our Yahweh in their forehead. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. You notice here that the angels are not told to hold the wind until Ezekiel 9 has all been fulfilled, but until the servants of Yahweh are sealed. Therefore, if there is any intervening time between the close of the probation, or between the close of the sealing and the slaughter of the Ezekiel 9, there is a possibility that the winds could start blowing during that time. If the nations had everything ready, it would not necessarily take long to bring the trouble that is represented by the four winds. We do know from this scripture that Yahweh will restrain the winds until the sealing is finished. For according unto verse 3, of this chapter and message was sent unto the four angels, instructing them to hold the reins until the sealing of the 144,000 is finished. It shows that the devil is doing all he can to loose the reins as soon as possible, perhaps even in a day. How serious it is that right now, when the Yahweh's people should be awake and preparing themselves to receive the seal, that they might be protected in that great and dreadful day, the church instead is dead asleep. If the sinners were still among the Yahweh people, when the wind start to blow, a church would fail. But while sinners are among Yahweh's people, the church cannot stand against the enemy. In other words, the trouble be brought against the church before the abomination are eliminated, before the unrighteous are taken out of her midst. There is a possibility that the whole church would fail, and that Yahweh would have to intervene himself to rescue her. If the Yahweh's righteous people were separate, it would be different. For the last chapter of Ezekiel, however, tells us that angels are commissioned to go through the city and mark those who sign and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof, showing that the wicked and the righteous are not at that time separate, but instead they are commingled. For you recall how Yahweh dealt with the Israel just before they went into the promised land. Because of that one man, Achan, Israel's army was miserably defeated at Ai. And though the sealed ones were in permit, should the church now meet with the trouble while there is, as Sister Clark says, an Achan in every church and in almost every family, Testimony, Volume 5, page 157, the entire church could fall with the starting possibility concerning us. With this startling possibility confronting us, I ask you now, can any true professor of the present truth still sit calmly and be unconcerned about his own spiritual condition and do nothing to warn others to get ready? Such grave possibilities, on the contrary, should cause each of us to be a light bearer instead of a watchman who will sound the alarm and warn Israel to cast away her idols and seek Yahshua, son of Yahweh, now, that we may be hid in the day of this fierce thunder. That's the Lamb, not this fierce thunder, which is soon coming. Let us now turn into Isaiah 27 for the remainder of our time this afternoon. Thank you, Holly. Okay, Isaiah 27, 1 to 13, in that day, the Yahweh, I'm going to use the Father here, with his sore and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day, sing ye unto her a vineyard of the red wine. I, the Yahweh, do keep it. I will water it every moment. If any hurt it, I will keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. He would sit the guards and the thorns against me in the battle. I would go see them. I would burn them together. Or let them take hold of my strength. that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. He shall cause them, the term of the Jacob, to take root. That would be the 144,000 here in the last 12 by the hour. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Has he smitten them as he smote those that smote them? Or is he slain according unto the slaughter of them that are slain by him? When the measure, when it shooteth forth, thou wilt debate with it. For he stayeth the rough wind in the day of the east wind. By this therefore shall the iniquity of the Jacob be purged. Okay. And this is all the fruit to take away his sin. When he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in center, for the groves and images shall not stand up, yet the defense city shall be desolate, and the habitation forsaken, and left like a wilderness. There shall the chaff feed, and there shall he lie down, and consume the branches thereof. When the boughs thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The women come and set them on fire, for it is a people of no understanding. Therefore, he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favor. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahweh shall beat off from the sound of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which are ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Yahweh and the holy mount at Jerusalem. Isaiah 27:1. And that day the Yahweh with his sword and great strong sword shall punish Leviathan, that's Satan, the piercing serpent, even the Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Okay. Today, this is to happen, must be found in the preaching, in the preceding chapter, for this verse is introduced with the words, and that day, therefore, to find the time, we shall read that. Isaiah 26:20-21. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself as it were for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Yahshua cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disperse her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. For the Yahweh's indignation is coming upon the earth, and Yahweh's people are invited to take shelter somewhere. These verses place the fulfillment of this prophecy and the time of the end, and that would be the 12th parabolic hour, and that's the time we're in right now of the world, when Yahweh will punish the wicked and raise the righteous. Isaiah 27:1. And that day the Yahweh with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. From the reading of these verses, we truly see that when Yahweh punishes the inhabitants of the earth discloses her blood, the Leviathan will be punished, and the dragon that is in the sea is to be slain. who is the serpent, is the Satan. They're going to say, now he's going to be slain at this time, if this is going on, but how is Satan to be punished? And slain at the time that this chapter applies. For help on this point, let us turn to Isaiah 14:1-14. For the Yahweh will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and seek them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall creep unto the house of Jacob. That's 144,000 in our days. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Yahweh for the servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors, and it shall come to pass in the day that the Yahweh shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Yahweh has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the ruler. He who smote the people in the wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in the anger, is persecuted and none hindered. For the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at this. And the cedars of Lebanon sing, since thou art laid down, no fellow is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved with thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? For thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vial, the worm that is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of Yahweh. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. For the king of the Babylon, which is Satan, Yahshua, and this chapter is connected with Lucifer, because whatever Babylon aspires and sets out to do is instigated by Satan himself. Likewise, we find the same to be true in the following account of Tyrus, Ezekiel 28:1-13-17. For the word of the Lord came again unto the son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Yahweh, because thou heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of the Yahweh, in the midst of the sea, that thou art a man, and not the Yahweh, though thou sit thine heart as the heart of Yahweh. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of the Yahweh. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabernacles and of thy pots, which prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of the Yahweh. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. And iniquity was found in thee by the multitude of thy merchandise. They have filled the midst of thee with the violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of Yahweh, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. For you recognize this description as being that of a Lucifer. Yet the prophecy is addressing to the prince of Tyrus, just as Isaiah 14 associated the king of Babylon with Lucifer. By this we are to understand that both Tyrus and Babylon are instigated by Satan and are set up to do on the earth the identical wicked work that Satan did originally in heaven. But we are here told that Satan's defeat in these endeavors will be complete and shameful. Isaiah 27:1-2. In that day the Yahweh with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, the crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon as in the sea. In that day send ye unto her a vineyard of the red wine. In the day that the dragon is slain in the sea, someone is to sing a vineyard of the red wine. There is then to be a vineyard of the red wine, and there is to be singing about it, because it is a rich vineyard, producing good fruit, righteous people. The song for the vineyard is a song when Yahweh punishes Leviathan. It cannot be sung now because Yahweh does not have this rich productive vineyard. For the rest of this chapter tells how he is the obtainer. Isaiah 27:3. I, Yahweh, do keep it. I will water it every moment. Lest any hurt it, I will keep it night and day. This obviously is Yahweh's vineyard, which he is to have at that day, and which he is to keep night and day, lest any hurt it. If he must so carefully keep it, lest any hurt it, the vineyard must therefore exists in the time of the danger. Isaiah 27:4-5. Fury is not in me, who would sit the briars and thorns against me in the battle. I would go to them. I would burn them together, or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Well, this brings in verse 30, this is our grand practice of the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio article. We're going to close now with this song.